Massachusetts law enforcement seizes millions of dollars a year believed to be involved in drug crimes. They can keep the money, even if they don't find drugs, even if they don't charge anyone with a crime, and even if the case is dismissed because of weak evidence. This is legal in Massachusetts because of the state's loose civil forfeiture laws. A WBUR investigation with ProPublica finds law enforcement in Worcester County often seizing and keeping money without drug convictions or charges. WBUR investigative reporter Shannon Dooling has our story, which was supported by the Pulitzer Center.
Laura Wojciechowicz had just gotten out of the shower and was getting ready for bed. She remembers it was a warm September evening last year, and the door to her screened-in porch was open. That's when Northbridge Police and the Drug Task Force stormed into the home she shares with her longtime partner.
Yeah, it was awful. I was like hyperventilating, shaking, crying. And he's like, sit down, just sit the down. Don't move. We're not here for you. You know why we're here.
She didn't know it then, but police suspected her partner, Bill McPhail, of selling drugs, and they were executing a search warrant. Wojciechowicz was not a target of the investigation, but police still took close to $5,000 she says belonged to her. The 52-year-old grandmother works as a personal care attendant, and her hours were cut short because of the pandemic. So Wojciechowicz was counting on that money.
There was money in the safe that was in a little wooden box. It had a little lock, and it was all $100 bills. And I put it in Bill's safe, and I said, lock this up, keep this safe for me.
Police found cocaine and heroin in McPhail's safe that night, sitting next to the thousands of dollars Wojciechowicz says is her money. Law enforcement records don't specify the amount of drugs found. Even though she wasn't facing charges, Wojciechowicz now had to prove to the district attorney's office the seized money was hers and that it had nothing to do with drugs.
The indigent community doesn't have the ability to fight for the return of the money. So they are the target. They lose out on all of these seizures.
That's defense attorney Joseph Hennessy, who's working on Wojciechowicz's case pro bono. Hennessy says the money the police seized was a combination of pandemic unemployment assistance, federal stimulus funds, and money from Wojciechowicz's mother.
She has produced all of her bank records. She has produced her withdrawal slips. She has produced all that, and they're still not satisfied.
Massachusetts is the only state in the country that allows police and prosecutors to keep someone's money based only on suspicion, even if they're never charged with a crime. And we discovered that's happening a lot in Worcester County. WBUR's investigation examined every forfeiture filed in 2018, the most recent year with complete records. We found that of the hundreds of people who lost money and property to the DA's office, nearly one in four of them had no related drug conviction or drug charge. Here's Sam Gedge, an attorney at the Institute for Justice, a nonprofit advocating for limited government.
It's much easier for the government to take your cash, your car, your home using civil forfeiture than it is to prove your guilt beyond a reasonable doubt in criminal court.
But what's most concerning to legal experts is how hard it is for people to get their money back once the DA has it. We found Worcester County District Attorney Joseph D. Early Jr. regularly stockpiles small amounts of money for years, sometimes decades. Our analysis of cases in Worcester County found hundreds of people had to wait more than a decade before the DA even attempted to notify them about their money. Early called those cases exceptions to his office's standard way of doing business.
We follow all the rules that the court gives us. We follow the case law that they give us. And look, our mission here is prevention, intervention, and public safety.
But some legal experts say those kinds of delays may violate a person's constitutional due process rights.
If you're bringing an action 20 years after that claim arose, the chances that they even have the right address for a person is highly suspect.
Louis Rooley is a law professor at the University of Pennsylvania and an expert on public interest law. He says civil forfeiture got popular in the 1980s, touted as a tool to bring down major drug traffickers. But Rooley says there's been a shift in how forfeiture laws are employed at the street level.
This became a very lucrative area of revenue. And as a result, it got applied to ordinary folks.
Ordinary folks like Devante Jones Bernier.
So it was a regular Friday, and I was just hanging out with my buddies. I think it was around like 2 o'clock or so when cops surrounded his apartment building. I guess you could call it a raid.
28-year-old Jones Bernier of Worcester was working his way through college back in 2014 when police arrested him and several others on drug charges. Law enforcement records show no drugs were found on Jones Bernier. Still, Worcester police seized the $95 he had on him, along with his iPhone. A few months later, all charges against Jones Bernier were dismissed, but the cash he earned as an audiovisual engineer and his iPhone were gone for good.
There was a time in my life where I didn't have a bank account, so cash is all I had on me. So luckily that wasn't a day, it was my whole check, but could have been.
District Attorney Early's office held on to Jones Bernier's money for 4 years before filing court documents officially requesting to keep it.
Nobody ever reached out to me or anything. And, you know, it's shameful that they're able to do it and get away with it.
Jones Bernier's $95 may not seem like a lot of money, but these relatively modest amounts add up and pad the budgets of law enforcement. In 2018 alone, Worcester County DA Early's office brought in nearly $500,000 by keeping seized cash and property. And another DA, Norfolk County's Michael Morrissey, says he believes programs run out of DA's offices would suffer if these forfeiture funds were to dry up. Ruley, the law professor, says allowing law enforcement to keep up to 100% of the proceeds from forfeitures creates a conflict of interest.
As long as that financial incentive exists, I think that many believe we will continue to see abuses in civil forfeiture.
By law, district attorneys must notify a person that they intend to keep their money. But it's the way they notify people that raises questions of fairness. For example, in Jones Bernier's case, the DA's office took out an ad in the local newspaper 4 years after his money was seized, listing Jones Bernier's name in minute font alongside more than 100 other people who had money in the custody of the DA.
I wasn't going to be checking the Telegram Gazette every weekend in hopes of an ad for my money. It seemed like a lazy attempt to try to resolve an issue that they knew they created.
DA Early now says he supports some reforms to the state's civil forfeiture laws, including raising the burden of proof for prosecutors, meaning they'd now need to prove money or property was more than likely involved in a drug crime. He also defended the way his office conducts business. He blamed police and the slow pace of criminal justice for some of the delays in notifying people of their seized cash and property. And he disagreed with those who say the long waits are unjust.
And certainly in no way, shape, or form do we look at that as an infringement on people's rights.
Critics say there's another way people lose money in forfeitures. Several defense attorneys who've dealt with the practice told WBUR that in some cases, prosecutors will drop criminal charges or seek lighter sentences in exchange for keeping all or part of the seized money. Ariel Sharma is a staff attorney with Lawyers for Civil Rights, a nonprofit legal group. She's also a former criminal defense attorney who often represented clients in Worcester.
One of the things that we would have to do in order to get someone a better plea deal was basically my client would have to sign over their money in order to get their charges broken down. It's cash for freedom, right?
Can you reintroduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Laura Wojciechowicz.
On a recent morning at Uxbridge District Court, it became clear to Wojciechowicz she wasn't getting the seized money back. The DA's office didn't believe it belonged to her, even after seeing bank statements and other documentation. She could have continued her fight in court, but her partner, McPhail, was facing 2 years in county jail. Wojciechowicz's lawyer told her if she dropped the fight for her money, McPhail would have a better chance at a lesser sentence. A judge in the case said the forfeiture had to be resolved before he would sentence McPhail. Wojciechowicz felt as though she had no choice but to give up the money.
I presented everything. And this is what they did to turn around and say, no, you're not getting your money. They put me in between a rock and a hard place.
DA Early's office said in a statement there was no deal struck in this case. McPhail pleaded guilty to 4 drug charges. He was in jail for 47 days, but he's now out on probation. Wojciechowicz says losing the money was a big financial hit, but she saw no other option. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Shannon Dooling.
Saurabh Dattar of WBUR's investigative team contributed to this story.